Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
This morning, we're starting off a brand new series for the month. We're calling the series Relationship Goals, and I hope you've got some relationship goals possibly in your life, and because relationships are so important in our life. In fact, I'd say they're the most important thing that we have, the relationships in your life. In fact, show me your relationships and I'll show you what your future looks like and the people that you and I have around our life. And the value that we place on those relationships is so vital. And I think one of the great things to have in our life as well is examples of relationships that, you know, if you're maybe just brand new in terms of being married, to have people that you can look to who have been through some seasons in life, in marriage, been through some tough things, come out the other side and, you know, their spirit's good, their marriage is great. And this morning, I just thought it'd be really cool in all of our services as we kick off relationship goals is to really celebrate and just make some heroes out of some people in our services as well that have just got amazing marriages. And I thought this morning, in the first service, we honored David and Joss Myrams, who've been married for 36 years, if I got that right. Dave claims that he was a very young lad when he got married, but they're just a fantastic couple. And this morning, I want to honour as well another couple. Let me just tell you before who they are. Been married for 31 years. They have three kids and they have two beautiful grandchildren. They've been attending church here since 1998. That's 19 years. And they have and are still involved in so many different areas. Across the 19 years, they've been involved in music team and cafe and building of the church and our building fund, board member, connect group leader, overseer, host, welcome team, intercessory prayer team, staff member, vibe book, you name it. They pretty much had that portfolio, but I love all that part. That's really cool. But this is a couple with an amazing marriage and amazing kids. And they have been such a great, I think, a great influence and such a great example to so many. And not just peers, but also as well many, many young people as well. And so this morning, let's honor, can we, John, who's up the back, and Vanessa Wiggins this morning. Can we go out from there? Thank them this morning. Look at that. He's still got a sprightly step. And then John is able to run all the way down. And we want to honor you this morning, John and Vanessa, and just such a spiritual mum and dad as well across the church. And love you guys. And you've got amazing kids and grandkids now as well. And you often see Vanessa, you know, kidnapping her grandchildren on the front row. And I want to thank you guys and honor you so much. And behind you here, Dave has some lovely flowers. And also as well this morning, I thought it'd be nice to have some gold class movie time as well. John always expresses to me, Vanessa, how much he loves romantic comedies and taking you out to romantic comedies. So these are specially sealed tickets. They can only be used for romantic comedies. Okay, that will not go on an action flick or anything like that. So you take her out. Bless her. You guys are amazing. Can we give John and Vanessa a big, big hand? Celebrate them. Hashtag relationship goals right there. And John and Vanessa, so good. And so we are talking about relationship goals this morning. And today I thought we'd dive into, I reckon, probably one of the most vital parts of relationships. And that's communication. Communication in relationship. I want to talk about this message this morning, words to live by. Words to live by. And then in our relationships, the power of our words that we speak in our relationships. I think sometimes we quite understand the weight that our words carry. The power that our words carry in relationships. And the Bible says the power of life and death is in our tongue. So in other words, the Bible clearly says that we can speak life into relationships or we can speak death into relationships. That the choice is ours. And how we can speak words that bring life into the relationships around us can be, I believe, the single most important thing that you and I can do. And so I want to speak this morning on this idea of words that can bring life or words we can live by in relationships and understand how important our communication is. But let me just kind of backtrack for a minute as we look at this series on relationship goals. And let me just say this. I believe this. Great relationships are possible in your life. And you say, well, what? No. Let me say that. Great relationships are God's will for your life. That whether you're in your marriage, whether you're dating, with your children, at school, at university, at work. God wants our relationships to not just survive, but he wants them to be great. And he wants them to thrive. And he knows how valuable relationships are. The first thing that God attends to after he creates Adam, says, I made you in my image. And it's awesome, you know. Creates man in the image of God. Fantastic. First thing that God addresses, he says to Adam, he says, it's not good, Adam, for you to be alone. So the first issue he attended to was loneliness and the lack of relationships. There was no way, even though Adam at that time was sinless, he hadn't sinned, created in the image of God, there was no way that Adam could thrive, and there's no way for him to have the life that God intended him to have without having relationships. And so God forms Eve as a companion, a helper, but that was symbolic of the value of relationships around our life. And God himself embraced relationship because of the very fact there's a Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are in perfect relationship, in harmony with one another. It's that God understands the value of relationships, that we can't and we should never try to do life on our own or solo, but we need people around our life. But more than just need people, we need to understand how we can create life-giving relationships. We need to understand how we can create relationships that flourish and thrive. And the Bible is not silent on this. In fact, there is so much in the Word of God to show us how you and I can communicate and use the power of words in our life to bring relationships up to a whole new place. And my conviction is this, you know, as I was sort of preparing this message over, you know, the last sort of couple of weeks and just studying scriptures about relationships, I want to be honest right now and said there were many times as I was reading a scripture where I would just internally say the word, ow. It's good. You ever had that little nudge? It's like, yeah, it's called the nudge of the Holy Spirit. So yeah, I could do a lot better with my words, no doubt about it. And I think if you're honest this morning, you'd probably put your hand up and say, yeah, I reckon I could do a bit better with my words in some areas of my life too. And so the power of our words. And so this morning, I just want to quickly just talk about what communication is. And I think we need to understand the types of communication. And we also need to understand as well, what can be the barriers to us communicating? And then we're going to dive in and talk about, well, what does the Bible say about words that we can speak that can bring life and can bring health into the relationships of our life? In fact, the Bible goes further in that and says that we can actually create an atmosphere around our relationships by speaking the right words into those relationships as well. And so what types of communication are there in relationships? Well, there's four levels of communication we can have with another human being, another person. The first level we're going to talk about is surface communication. So surface communication, that's sort of, you know, day-to-day. Cliches. How are you going? How are you, mate? I'm doing good. How's the weather? That's awesome. Yeah, it's fantastic. How'd the Broncos go on the weekend? Yeah, brilliant. They won. They did, by the way. Thrash the Titans. And but that surface kind of level communication, really, we're communicating, but we're not really diving kind of too far into it. It's just, it's on the surface, and that's okay. There's surface level communication. Look, my opinion, just on a part of this is I think the more digital forms of communication that we've created, the shallower our communication has definitely become. And so much communication exists at a surface level, but that's just the first level. The second level of communication is called general information. And that's when two people, they're passing information to each other. Well, you know, we might say just around our home or wherever we are, we might say, oh, well, Sammy's got a test today, or what are we having for dinner tonight? Or it's the passing of information between people. And so that's an important part of relationships. There's no doubt about it. We need to communicate. We need to have information that's exchanged. There's no problem with having general information that's communicated in relationships, but there is a problem if that's the deepest level our relationships go to, if that's where it exists and no further than that. And so I find, quite honestly, as a guy, as a man, that it's quite difficult for me sometimes to go a little bit deeper than this. And I can have a few challenges with kind of making this really work. So this morning, I just thought I'd really help every one of our guys here this morning. Do we have any men this morning who are married? Just give me a wave right now. You're married this morning. All right, I want to give you this morning the five most romantic words that your wife will ever hear. Would you like to hear that this morning? I said, come on, guys, who would like to know the five most romantic words that your wife will ever hear? Take your notebook out, take your phone out, open up the notes app, get ready. The five most romantic words your wife will ever hear. Are you ready? Five words? And then what happened, babe? And when you say that, she'll pass out. Then you just pick her back up and you can continue that conversation. And I know that when we find that in life, it's like, wow, we're digging deeper in our communication. And so we need to go to deeper levels in our communication. That's general information is number two. Third one is the level of our feelings. Feelings. We have feelings. That's an important part of relationships. The communication of feelings. Here's what I've learned about feelings. Feelings aren't always right, but they're always real. Feelings aren't always right, but they're very real in a relationship. And so there can be times when I can feel something and I might even know that that feeling's not right, but I still have that feeling. And so relationships, it's so vital that in a relationship and close relationships in our life that we're able to communicate about feelings and how we feel about that. Julia Johns did a great message a few weeks ago around communication. And one of the points that she made using the illustration of a volcano is that if we spend our whole time trying to suppress feelings, it's a little bit like waiting for the top of that volcano to come off. And those sometimes when we don't have a healthy outlet for feelings, then those things can build up and they can come out in such a way that we go, wow, where did that come from? But actually, because we haven't had a dynamic in our relationships to express or to communicate those feelings. It's so vital that we have in our relationship a health and a dynamic where we can express those feelings. And next week, it's going to be fantastic. We're going to look at the dynamic that makes the expression of feelings and how we are going in relationships so important. The dynamic is called commitment. You see, it's commitment that brings the security that allows us to open our hearts to another person. And so that's the third level. The fourth level of communication is called deep needs. In other words, when someone is able to say to someone else, let me tell you what I need. Let me tell you about the need that I have in this relationship. And the best relationships are ones where people have an understanding or two people have an understanding of the needs of each other. And they have made a commitment to the best of their ability to try to meet each other's needs. I will try to serve and meet your needs and you will try to meet my needs. That is the very basis of that. We move from feelings to also intentionalizing it. There was a book written a few years ago now by a Christian author who he spoke about this idea that in every marriage that two of those needs that need to be fulfilled are respect and love. And the value where a husband and wife can create a culture of respect for one another and love. And that in that we are able to meet our spouse or our partner at that point of need. And the best relationships are that where we're aware that this relationship can actually be such a vital thing to fulfill a deep need in the inside of another person. And so four levels of communication, and many times the challenge is to get our way down to a place where we were able to communicate in some of these deeper and more meaningful ways in relationships. And so what are the barriers, though, that we have to communication? What maybe stops us from finding a place of closeness in relationships or a place of health like that? Well, I think there's four barriers that happen in communication. And these are actually four barriers that researchers have identified. Two researchers by the name of Dr. Markman and Dr. Stanley, they did 20 years of research and identified four types of barriers that we happen in relationships that can stop us from having the kinds of relationships that we want. The first barrier or the first level was called withdrawal. So there's a tendency in people when things come up in a relationship that they can withdraw. And so that can happen in two ways. It can be withdrawal as in I'm going to shut down the communication now. Talk to the hand. I don't want to go there. This is difficult. Let's shut that down. Or what we can find is that one or both people in that relationship can physically withdraw from that relationship. In other words, you know, in marriage, sometimes it's called the silent treatment. Has anyone ever experienced that? Let's be honest. I think I've done that before. You have a disagreement and you kind of go silent. And then it becomes a game come on, this is you too. Who's going to break that silence first? And I read a story about a couple, and they had a disagreement, and so they were doing the silent treatment, and so it got into the nighttime. But the problem was, for the husband, the next morning he had to catch a flight at 5 a.m. in the morning. The problem was, he was notorious for sleeping through his alarm, and so he's like, "What am I going to do? My wife usually helps wake me up, but I don't want to break the silent treatment." So he wrote a note and he put it in the bathroom beside where she'd normally clean her teeth, and said, "Could you please wake me up at 5 a.m.?" And then left it there, went to bed. The next morning he got up, it was 7 a.m. He had missed his flight. He was like, "What?" He looked across on his bedside table and there was a note there from his wife saying, "Wake up, babe, it's 5 a.m. So men, you will never win that game against your wife. Don't even try. And so it's so easy when things happen to withdraw, but withdrawal becomes a barrier to our relationships and our communication. The next level, the second level, is called escalation. Escalation is where temples might be flaring. I was going to say tempers are flaring, temples too. And now you begin to speak loudly. And I feel like the louder I speak, man, the more that person's going to hear me. And how do you know that doesn't work? Because even if by speaking loudly or shouting, I manage to get my way, if the other person's heart doesn't receive it, you've lost in that relationship straight away. And so escalating an issue, in fact, some of the research I saw said this: once a person's heart rate gets above 100 beats per minute, that person loses every ability for rational thought in a conversation. So there you go. Once things escalate, it tends to rationality, let's be honest, can go right out the door. And so it's better to walk away and come back when the heart rate's gone down. And the third level, now it's kind of getting into significant barriers. The third level they identified was called belittling. That's now where words get involved to try to hurt another person. They called it belittling them. So in other words, it's like, "I'm hurt now because of this situation, this fight. I'm hurt. And because of my hurt, I don't feel like I can raise myself up. So I'm going to use my words to try to put you down." And so words then become like weapons, where we say, "I'm just going to put you down with those words because I can't raise myself up. So I'm going to try to do that." And that's actually the very definition of a critical person. Is a critical person actually at their heart has an insecurity on the inside of them. And because they're not able to lift themselves up, they instead find other people and they say, "Well, if I could just lower you, I might feel better about who I am." But the end result I find is that, you know, we live in a culture, let's be honest, we live in a culture that's gone pretty crazy around this critical thing, being critical of one another. And the media is just insane on this, you know, criticizing and taking people, being personally critical of people. And I find it's this culture we live in, you know, one of the great upsides with social media, but there's great, some downsides too. And I find, man, get on social media sometimes and you see people and they're critical of people they've never even met. And we'll just belittle them. It's like, where do we go from just having a culture that we can have a different opinion, but we still respect and honor another person? It's like, no, we've got to belittle them and criticize them. I believe this, that we should not have a part of that kind of culture, that God's culture is very different to that in the way in which we live our life, and that belittling can be such a barrier to communication. I heard another story about a couple, and they were out going for a long drive in the country. And as long drives can sometimes do, it turned a little bit like kind of nasty. And they were having a fight about something as they were going for a drive in the country, the husband and wife. And then they started having little jabs at each other through there. And so they were driving out through the country. And then the husband looked out the window and he saw they were driving past the farm with like goats and pigs all through the farm. And he thought, "I'll have a little dig right here." And he looked out and he says, hey, doll, they relatives of yours?" She said, "Yeah, in-laws." And As again, I say, guys, you won't win. Don't even try. But belittling, it's such a barrier to communication. And the fourth level, which is kind of the dangerous barrier in communication, the fourth level is, they called it false belief. False beliefs in a person's mind. And actually, that can be quite demonic in many ways, because there's this element here that we need to understand, that the Bible says that the devil, he's a liar, and he's also the father of lies. And so he has an agenda for our life as well, and that's an agenda to destroy our life. And he says his main mode of doing that is to try to create lies and that we would believe those lies. And so this level here is where people develop false beliefs in their mind. In other words, they're holding on to lies about a situation or a thing. And suddenly those lies can then be used to break up relationships or separate people or cause friction and things in a relationship. And we find that's one of the greatest barriers to communication. And that he wants to, the Bible said very, very, very clearly that his agenda is to see us separated from life-giving relationships. We have an enemy. He knows the power that there is in those relationships. And so to separate us, to cause us to get offended or hurt or bitter, would be one of the most prevalent strategies that he has in working in our life. And so we go, well, listen, what do I do with communication and the power of my words? And what do I do in my life in order that I can use my power or use the power of my words to bring life into relationships? Well, here's the thing. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 3, we see straight away something so important for us to know and understand about the power of our words. It says that God is looking across the earth, but if you think of it this way, he's looking across the situation and he describes it this way. He says it's formless, or that word formless, it means empty. And the other thing he says, the darkness filled the earth. And so God sees this situation that's dark and empty. And what does he do? The first thing that God does is God opens his mouth and he begins to speak. In other words, God lets the power of his words come into a situation that has some darkness in it, that feels empty, and he begins to speak words that bring two things. They bring light and they bring life. So I reckon that for us in life, we can find sometimes relationships, there's some relationships in our life that feel like there's maybe some darkness around it, or they're feeling a sense of emptiness around it. And God's showing us right here a template or a pattern for what we're to do in the relationships in our life, that we can actually begin to speak and use the power of our mouth to begin to speak words that will bring light and they will bring life to that relationship. That relationship might seem empty, or that relationship might seem like it's in a very difficult place, but as God begins to speak these words, he begins to create a brand new world. And you and I can do the same thing. The power of our words, man, I don't think we quite understand the power that our words carry. That the words we speak can actually begin to create a whole new world, a whole new atmosphere in relationships. That where a relationship might have been strained or difficult, that we can begin to speak certain types of words that the Bible shows us, and those words will actually release light, they'll release life into that. That things will begin to shift, things will begin to move, because we've engaged the power of our tongue. And so this morning, I just want to give you a few of the ways that you and I can intentionally communicate. And if there's one word I reckon that's so important around communication, it's the word intentional. Yeah, right. That I think you and I need to be intentional about the types of words that we speak into relationships in our life. And when you and I can begin to speak the words, or the types of words that the Bible tells us here we can speak, you'll be amazed at how things will begin to shift and change. You'll be amazed that that relationship that you found to be a strain or a struggle suddenly begins to have life and suddenly begins to have light flow into it. Do you want to hear what they are this morning? Here's some things the Bible teaching. I'm going to give you a few this morning about how you can speak in relationships. Because here's what I found is that, man, many times we go, oh, man, I've got a bad habit of complaining, or I've got a bad habit of negativity. Can I tell you this? The best way to fix a bad habit is not to focus on the bad habit, but to replace it with a good habit. Because I tell you what, when you begin to speak in a certain way, you'll find it begins to reverse that other type of way that you were speaking before. So let's go through a few things the Bible teaches us about the life-giving words that we can speak. Ready? The first one is this. The first type of way we're to speak in relationships is praise. Praise. You know what praise is? Praise says, I'm going to find your qualities and I'm going to highlight them. In other words, it's going to another person and saying, let me tell you what I see in you. I could easily magnify the weakness, but I'm not. I'm going to highlight your qualities and I'm going to begin to speak those out. That's praise. Proverbs 25:11 speaks of this type of language that we use. It says, a word spoken, that's by us, at the right time is like gold apples on a silver tray. It's a picture. What it's saying is this, when you and I speak the right words at the right time in a relationship, it says it's like gold apples setted or on a setting of a silver tray. That picture is a picture of value. Value. Your words can add so much value. And here's what I found about praise, is that it takes very little effort, but it can make such a significant impact. I can guarantee this, if we were to sit down and talk to everyone in this room today, man, there will be some words that people have spoken into your life that you still remember to this day because they found a quality in you and they highlighted it. It could be a teacher, could be a parent, could be a leader in the church, could be a friend. And those words make such a powerful, powerful difference. To praise someone is to add value to another person. And listen, let me tell you, I'm actually not naturally like that. I'm trying to learn all the time to be intentional in how I do that. And when I was reading some things about praise, I read a story about a dad who what he did with his young kids was when they were going to school, every couple of weeks or so, he'd write each of his kids a personal note, just praising them, and he'd put it in their lunchbox to read. I thought, well, that's a cool idea. I'm going to do that. And so last week I did that. I got some notes and I just wrote. I got three kids, my wife and I. Two are in primary school. One's just started high school and just wrote them some notes. But I thought I needed to up the ante a little bit just beyond notes. And so what I did was I put the note and I sticky taped it to two caramello koalas. Because how many of you know that nothing says I love you like two caramello koalas in your lunchbox? And in this day with all these kind of, you know, healthy lunchboxes, you know, like two caramel koalas is awesome. Go with your carrot stick. It's great. And so I put that in. I just wrote him a note. I was just try to think, okay, I just say, hey, just want to let you know, I love you. I believe in you. And you're going to do great things for God in your future. And just said, love, Dad. And then I wrote, P.S., two caramel koalas attached. One for you and another for someone else that you could give to today. There you go. And so I was pretty excited actually for them to come home from school. And then I came home from school and I said, and then I was waiting for them. I didn't say anything. I was playing it cool. And Dad, thanks so much for the note. The caramel club was awesome. I said, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Love you. And I said, so who'd you get what happened with the caramel koalas? Well, the first child said, yeah, look, I had my caramello and I gave my one to my friend, Chloe. Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, she loved it. Cool. And the second child, I said, what happened with your two caramel koalas? And he said, oh, actually, I gave both of my caramel koalas away. Isn't that good? Isn't that awesome? Oh, fantastic. The third child, I said, what about your caramel koalas? He said, I ate them both. I was like, yeah. I said, why did you eat them both? Did you not read my note? And she said, giving a name away, but she said, Dad, I have way too many friends just to give away one caramel koala. The price of popularity. Nice cover, I reckon. But you know what? I tell you, I reckon you and I, that's just a moment, but I reckon that all through our relationships and our life, the value of praise, of speaking words of affirmation, of highlighting another person's quality. Man, I love it because you know what? I reckon there's no greater gift that we can give kids and we can give young people than to be in an environment where we are praising and affirming. Because I tell you what, the culture we live in is filled with negativity. It's filled with that sense, but you and I can actually be people that speak praise and we highlight that. And you will be surprised at what a difference that can make. A text message from you to someone else. Just a word of affirmation in passing, a word of praise can make the greatest difference. And I believe this, you know, when people hear that, it's like a prophecy into their future. Because I tell you this, you know, I tell my kids, you're awesome. But the truth is, they don't always act awesome. But you know what I found this, it's at the very time they're not acting awesome, that as a parent, I need to begin to speak words of praise. Because I'm not here to highlight what things are going wrong. I'm here to highlight who they are and begin to speak those words of praise and begin to speak words of affirmation. And those words will be a prophecy into someone else's future. The Bible also tells us not only to speak the language of praise, we're to speak the language of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving means I'm going to be grateful. It's a decision, I reckon, that we can make every day. I'm just going to be thankful. I'm going to be grateful today. I'm going to find opportunities to just express thankfulness to people that I come in contact with through the day. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amazing scripture. The Bible says, you know what, you want to know what God's will is for your life today? Wouldn't you want to know that? What's God's will for my life today? Well, simple, three things. Be thankful, be prayerful, be joyful. That's what it is. Just be thankful. And there's a decision that you and I can make, not just thankful now and then, but it says be thankful in all circumstances. And, you know, this last Wednesday, my wife Wendy and I, we were at a cafe and having a late breakfast, and we sat down and we just had beautiful food. You know, sometimes you go to a cafe, a new cafe we went to, just beautiful food. I had poached bacon and eggs. It was amazing. It was really good. And as I was going up to pay the bill, I had this thought. I thought, how many times have I thought something like something really great I'm thankful for, but then I haven't told the person that? So as I got up to the counter, I paid the bill, and the person said, you know, as they normally say, how was your food? I said, it was amazing. It was the best bacon and eggs I've had. And she was like, oh, wow. I said, in fact, can I tell the chef this? She looked at me like, really? I said, yeah, I want to tell the chef. And so she goes out the back and she finds the chef, brings the chef out. Now he's just sort of covered in like cooking fat and all, you know, everyone's just looking frazzled after kind of lunchtime. And I said, oh, and I think he was bracing himself for the customer complaint right then, like, you know, my food was awful. I said, hey, I just wanted to tell you that was the best bacon and eggs I've ever had. It was amazing. And he looked at me like, oh, okay. But then I watched him for a minute, and this little smirk creeped on his face. He was trying to hide it, but this little smirk creeped on his face. He said, thank you. And he sort of turned around. I noticed the shoulders went back a little bit. Head went up a little bit more, and he went back into his thing. And I thought, mate, so little effort on my part, but can make such a difference in the life of someone else. I didn't just think something of thankfulness, but actually I'm engaging, and I'm actually expressing that thanks to another person. And my conviction is this, really. Every day is filled with moments like this where if I can learn to express thankfulness to others, it can change the world around me. And I love it. The third way the Bible speaks of language that we can have is the first one's praise, the second one's thankfulness, the third one's encouragement. Encouragement. You know what encouragement really means? Encouragement means this. Find someone who's looking discouraged and turn it around. Like, just find someone who's looking like they're having a bad day and have a go at turning it around for them by encouraging them. Because how many of you know, like, you don't really need encouragement on your best day. You need it on your worst day. And so encouragement's a language where you say, man, I want to turn this around for you. And I want to speak words that are going to build you up. Because maybe you've been in an environment where you've had words from your boss that's been tearing you down, or maybe you've been in an environment where things have been pulling you down, but I want to speak some words that in fact are going to build you up, they're going to strengthen you. And that's what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up. There's only two types of words that we can speak. We can speak words that build others up, or we can speak words that pull them down. There are no neutral words. Bible's saying, I want you to be a person who in every encounter situation you have, you're intentional about building that person up. It says according to their needs, so you're going to meet a need in them, that it may benefit them or it may help them. In other words, I'm making that decision. I'm going to build you up. I love the story in the Bible, which many of us would probably know, the story of Gideon in the Bible. And I love the picture we find Gideon in when you kind of capture his first moment. The Bible says that Gideon, he's hiding in a place called a wine press. Gideon is discouraged. He's despondent. He's fearful. He's timid. He's all these sorts of things in his life. But I love it. But God sees through all that stuff. And he sees the potential in Gideon. Doesn't see his current, he sees the potential in him. And so the Bible says God sends the angel of the Lord to Gideon. And I love the first thing the angel says to Gideon, hiding in the wine press. He says, hi, Gideon. You're an amazing warrior. You're a man of courage. You're a man of valor. I think Gideon at that point's like, who are you talking to? Like, is there another bloke behind me? Don't you get that? I'm not. And so this angel begins to speak these words of encouragement and building him up, because God knew that there was such potential on the inside of this guy. And if he could just send someone his way who would begin to speak words of life and encouragement to him, he could lift him and he would begin to see his life in a whole new light. He would begin to see this future that God had. He'd begin to see a whole new man that God had called him to become. And I recommend, man, I pray that you and I would be people that God could send into people's lives, that we could be used like that, where we could come into someone's life and we're not looking at them as they are, but we're seeing the God-given potential and destiny on the inside of them. We begin to speak words of encouragement and we build them up. Because I tell you what, when you and I build people up, we're not just puffing them up. No, we're building them up into the image of God that they're created to become like. We're saying, man, I see potential in you. I believe in you. You're going to do great things for God. Man, you've got a great future ahead of you. I know you're going through some stuff right now, but I want to tell you right now, God's with you, man. He's going to get you through this and you're going to come out the other side and you're going to be stronger. And man, you're going to be more full of faith and you're going to discover a presence of God as you go through this situation you'd never find elsewhere. But I tell you what, on the other side of this, man, I tell you what, there is such a sense of the destiny and purpose of God in your life. When you and I begin to speak like that into someone's life, man, it's incredible how we can lift the lid on the God-given calling on someone else's life. And the final one, I want to get the musos up here this morning. We're to speak encouragement. The final language I reckon that's so important in any relationship is where to speak in the language of prayer. Prayer. And man, the power of you and I beginning to use our language, not just in ways that can be helpful to other people, but actually use our language to God, to ask Him to begin to transform a relationship, situation that's going on in our life. Man, my pastors for the last 23 years, Pastor Gordon and Joe, they taught me this. I've been in so many different meetings with them, and many times, you know, like as a pastor, you're in meetings because there's some things that are happening in a relationship that's challenges or difficulties and things that have happened. And man, I remember since the time I was young, sitting in meetings with them as we've talked with people. And then it always at the end of the meeting, Pastor Gordon and Joe would always say this, come on, let's pray. Let's pray. You know what I love about that? So many times, the moment that we began to pray, it was like the Holy Spirit began to move in that room. And hearts began to soften. And where people may have come in and they were clashing on things, it's amazing how when you and I invite God into a situation or a relationship in our life, how our hearts begin to change just by doing it. The moment we begin to invite God in to a relationship where it might feel dark or it might feel empty or it might feel strained, it's amazing how He begins to do this work on the inside of us to change our hearts and to change our perspective on what's happening. And I love that because you and I can, and He wants us. The Bible says this. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. It says, and then the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Say, you want peace in a relationship? You know where it starts? It says, God, I'm not going to spend my energy and time just worrying about this. No, I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to invite you into this because you can do a miracle. You can begin to transform. You can begin to change this thing.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.